Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears. I'm here with, of course, our, my favorite gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Good evening, worms.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. I'm back.
Nice to have you back, Lulu.
Nice
and
to be back.
Thanks to Miss Amber for sitting in last week. And we've got a special worm in the house tonight to talk about mosquitoes. It's Chris Schinkel from the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, KVNF audience.
Great to have you here, because last week we were talking about floods and water.
What did Amber say about the floods?
Well, she had a serious situation there where she had a lot of mud and...
Was it about 4 inches?
At least 4 inches.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Invaded her greenhouse and all kinds of things.
Oh, it got up that high?
It did. Yeah.
Huh.
So along with water comes those lovely little mosquitoes. So
Suckers.
There we go. Get right into it. So I'm going to give you the phone numbers because this is going to be interesting conversation. 527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. You can email worm@kvnf.org. So Lulu, you're also have participate with the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District. And let's talk about it. It's been in that form of an organization since 2008, so 10 years now.
Right. Lulu. Yeah, Lulu's been around, helped us forever.
Oh, never mind, yeah. Well,
Yes.
I got involved a long time ago, about 2000, because there was a lot of... controlling the mosquitoes by just aerial fogging, which is good if you have a lot of mosquitoes and in a concentrated area, but as an effective method of mosquito control, it lacks.
Yeah. So that the organization has transformed itself and
several times.
And so currently, what's the mission, Chris?
Well, NFMAD, North Fork Mosquito Abatement District, is the current incarnation, about 6 years old, and Lulu's been counting.
Oh, no, it's more than that. Wait, 2008 and this
13.
Is 18.
Yeah, but the current board and not myself.
Oh, okay.
And got Lulu's it. Been identifying mosquitoes and sorting out the suckers into their various genuses, but for a while, a long time. Basically... In a nutshell, we want to use scientific means to control mosquitoes in an environmentally conscious way. You know, whether you're afraid of West Nile or you're afraid of what mosquito districts use to control mosquitoes, we want to keep people safe from both.
Sure. You know. That makes sense. And so the district is covers the North Fork, 50 square miles. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a special district. It's like an ambulance district.
Okay.
What other ones are there?
There's in Delta County, there is Delta 1 around Delta, and they're larger. And then there's us. But there are areas of Delta County that aren't covered by any mosquito district that do have mosquito problems.
Such as Lance is raising his hand.
Such as where Lance is, Rogers Mesa, and Crawford has quite a problem. And, you know, mosquito districts are created by municipalities, are funded by a mill levy. And, you know, they evolve, they get larger. We currently have about 7 or 8 people working for us, including myself. And there is a board that is volunteer. They receive $50 a meeting, and if they can not have a meeting, they bypass all that money and pass it on to the crews, to us. We have a tiny mosquito-sized budget, and we're trying to do more physical mitigation, which helps so that we don't put in larvicide or adulticide. We do things like figure out if the swamps can be minimized, maximizing drainage so that it's more efficient, it flows better. It's really interesting. One of the corollaries I found last year is there's not much difference between raising a crop of mosquitoes and raising a crop of tomatoes. There's water, sunlight, heat, location. So basically what we try to do is the opposite of what Lance does. He wants to grow a lot of carrots. We want to not grow a lot of mosquitoes.
Okay, 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. And you mentioned mitigation and science-based. So we've got a crew. How do we go about mitigating mosquitoes?
Well, whether you have a lot in town or you have a pasture or a field, the whole idea is to minimize standing water. After 6-7 days of standing water at above 55 degrees, a female mosquito who can lay between 100 and 300 eggs, those eggs will start to hatch. The really interesting thing is mosquitoes are so well adapted to living. They've been around forever. Field mosquitoes can lay their eggs in a field, and those eggs can remain dormant for 10 years.
No kidding.
Even longer. And they can lay them in the mud.
Right.
And then they just sit there and wait. So being educated about where they can hang out and how they hang out is really an important part also of the program. And I know that when Chris Fields calls, that's part of the routine, is to try and figure out where they're coming from.
Right.
And mitigation is just eliminating those
sources.
Right. Yeah. So you do have a hotline number, and why don't you give that number and then tell us what happens and when someone should call that hotline and what that process is.
Okay. Well, I say that, you know, phoning us is something we really appreciate, because when you are being eaten alive by mosquitoes, then we have limited options. If you start to see standing water around your neighborhood, in your backyard, in your field, or you start to see a rise in what is the current background noise of mosquitoes. Now, there's multiple different types of mosquitoes. As Lulu was saying, there's field mosquitoes and swamp mosquitoes. A field mosquito will hatch and you'll see a flush. The Culex mosquitoes tend to build slowly through the season. So if all of a sudden you see a lot of mosquitoes,
That's a flush.
Okay. It might be because your neighbor has cut their hay field. And all those mosquitoes that have been hiding out from the sun, deep in the grass, staying moist and cool, all of a sudden they need to find someplace else. So they will go to your lawn, where it's nice and humid, or your foliage, your rose bushes around your house, your garden. You know, if you're watering your shrubbery, your garden, your lawn every day in the evening, just when the mosquitoes rise, they're going to be seeking out what I call humidity bubbles. They're born, say, around a pond, and it's naturally humid. Then they go looking for food. A female mosquito, the females are the only ones that bite, and they need to bite and get blood, human or otherwise, before they can lay eggs. So they hatch, and then they go out looking for food.
They don't go very far either.
No.
They're really lousy flyers. They can't. They are. I mean, you know, figure it out. Look at how big they are. You know, they got nothing. They got nothing if it's windy, and they have nothing if it's raining. You know, good drop of mosquito drop of water can
dissolve
them down.
It can pelt a mosquito right out of the sky. It's great. So, you know, I'd love to see footage of that sometime. But anyway, they don't fly very far, but they do get blown off course. And they do, like Chris said, they go looking for moist places. But
are there different types of mosquitoes in the same area? I mean, there could be a whole community.
Lulu can address that one.
Yeah,
really well.
Yeah, that part of your counting. Tell us about, because you count mosquitoes.
Yeah,
what
I
does
do.
That mean?
Well, I yeah, it means you're kind of cuckoo, but you count them one at a time, and they're frozen. So Chris has a team that goes out and sets traps, and the traps that we use are a world standard mosquito trap the World Health Organization uses this same traps. These are pretty standard mosquito traps. They set the traps at night, and then they bring them in the morning, and they put them in a freezer, and we freeze them to death, and then they're really easy to count because they're dead.
And what are you looking for? Numbers?
Yeah, everything. I pull out the Culex mosquitoes that carry West Nile. And we have other diseases here, too, that they could carry. Eastern equine encephalitis.
Very serious.
Is a real drag. And we also have the mosquito that can carry malaria, but it's not, we don't have malaria. So I pull the Culex out, and they get tested for virus. And the rest of them I count. And then, like I said, then Chris knows if we have a lot of a Clarotatus, which is a mosquito that likes cleaner water that refreshes, then you know to go look in a certain place. If you have we have a lot of Aedes mosquitoes. They're the real nuisance mosquitoes that are around, and they're the floodplain ones. They're the ones that live in the mud. Mm-hmm. So when you're irrigating, you're flood irrigating, that's when we're going to have a problem.
Nuisance, I think you said it. Said it well there. Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed because it does seem extremely science-based. I mean,
yeah, I've learned tremendous amount about mosquitoes, and this season has been a real challenge.
Yeah, what's different about this year?
Well, transitioning from dry to whatever weather we have right now before the real rains come. A lot of the sources have dried up. We're noticing it's unique that we have fewer sources, and some of the sources that are wet don't have mosquitoes in them. So what we're noticing is that there are still mosquitoes out there. They're just being attracted to people's backyards. And
It's been a real anomaly. I mean, the numbers this year have been really different.
We have quite a few arsenal of products, both organic and non-organic. And one of the products that we're very proud of that we use as much as possible is microcrystalline garlic in a fruit juice, which I affectionately call salad dressing. It's so benign that the EPA doesn't even require it to be licensed, or I'm not sure what they call that. But it attracts mosquitoes. Because males and females mosquitoes go for plant sap.
Yeah, they need to eat.
Right.
Okay.
And the sweetness is what attracts them. Mm-hmm. And then they ingest the fruit juice and the garlic, and it ruins their appetite, and then they die 2 or 3 days later. So we're doing this year is any source for mosquitoes or attractant to mosquitoes that has a lot of vegetation, we will spray that with this fruit juice, garlic mixture, and the mosquitoes that are hatched there or that are attracted are reduced the numbers. And then, like I said, we have a lot of products that we use depending on the conditions. Larvicide, which is a bacteria, which is a frog, can eat the same product, and because of the unique pH of mosquitoes, their gut, the bacteria activates and eats the mosquito from the inside.
Wow.
When we first started, I was very concerned about doing any treatments around organic agriculture. Mm-hmm. And so we did a lot of research, and several of the farmers that we were dealing with, because, you know, farms and water, they had mosquito problems, and they talked to their certifiers. And I mean, a lot of organic farms use BT to control their insects. So
that's the same BT Lance uses when he has
to use it. Yeah, Bacillus thuricide.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's you know, it is very, very scientific. And you know, prior to this incarnation of the district, you know, Peonia has a history of trucks going up and down the streets fogging once a week. And you know, I won't deny it, we do fog when necessary. I mean, Culex mosquitoes can carry West Nile. But why Lulu does what we what she does. And the uniqueness of our incarnation is that we have something called a ramp reader. And a few hours after Lulu separates out the Culex, I can go in and test to see if the Culex that are captured at a certain location that night, the previous night, whether they have West Nile or not. And if the mosquitoes are carrying them, we can send a crew out within an hour of me testing that night to target that particular area and branch out, move out from that location, just bombarding it to kill the Culex in the area.
Right. So you're using that science that you gather to determine what larvicide and or concoction.
So we don't carpet bomb, which is what they used to do. Mm-hmm. They sprayed stuff that killed stuff.
Right.
And
it's
what we
specific.
Do
now,
specific. And we're controlled by the EPA. When we spray, it is dependent upon the temperature, the wind direction, the wind speed. We have a fogger that sprays out a measured amount of product based on our speed, so that we don't over or under apply.
Right, really well thought out.
Yeah, we use drift
controlled,
and 3 hours after we spray, the product that we spray is inert. It doesn't even kill mosquitoes. So it's not something like, I was around for the marathon years, but I was never in town. But I was told that you could smell it for a week or two afterwards. That's just...
Well, one of the really scary things about it too was that as it breaks down, it separates into its different chemical components, and each those components were more toxic in their individual states, their breakdown states, than they were when they were all cemented together. It's really easy to bind these molecules to carbon, and it's
To be clear, that was malathion.
The residue that's left over. That
yeah, the residue takes that's
on its
left
own
over.
Life
and there's non-life. One other thing too about that was it was a minute amount that was going on when it's applied properly. It's a minute amount, but it's still, you weren't supposed to come out after a spraying for 12 hours.
That's scary. Mm-hmm.
And that's, nobody ever really. How do you go around, shut all the windows, turn your air conditioning off, do all of that in the middle of the summer at 9 o'clock at night, just when it's starting to cool down, and then you're not supposed to go back outside until 9 o'clock the next morning.
Well, when I was a kid, we waited for the trucks. It was an event.
Well, here's an interesting note, is that malathion is coming back. They've made a malathion that is odorless. And I think that if you had something that smelled bad and you knew was bad for you, if it comes back, I mean, there are probably districts, not us, that are going to be buying malathion because, whatever it is, some of these things work, but what else do they do?
But they don't.
Exactly.
And the other thing, too, is the more you spray them, the more the mosquitoes become immune.
Sure. Right.
So you have, and the World Health Organization knew this when DDT came out, and they thought, oh, this is great. We're going to kill every mosquito in the world.
Right.
And they knew they had a 5-year maximum window.
Right.
To kill every mosquito.
It's just like antibiotics
with
humans.
You must be high. You're not going to do that,
Hey, our friend Max from Montrose is on the line and has something to share. Hey, good evening, Max.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Excellent, how are you?
It's so funny to listen to you guys talk about mosquitoes.
Why is that?
Really, seriously. Because when I was a little kid, back in the 50s, we would go see our grandparents down in Missouri, like Joplin and Neosho and stuff. And it was like a ice cream truck with a
right.
every evening.
Yeah, and that was DDT.
We would go out and play in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because that's what they said we should do. What were they doing? I didn't have the malathion spray. What was it, DDT?
Yeah, it was DDT. Back in the 50s, it was DDT. And
awesome. That means I could go to jail and not have to be sprayed, go in the military, not be sprayed, but I could run down the street and be sprayed with DDT, and all our parents would go, yay!
True that.
Yep, them were the days.
Yeah, well, have we progressed from there?
Totally. Well, I think so.
Massively, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Chris is here to talk about, because I really like what I'm hearing about how you guys really are thoughtful.
I'm not arguing. I'm just like, God, really? This is what a lot of us went
grew
through.
Up with.
Yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
grew up with it.
Oh, yeah.
It was okay
for sure.
with our parents and everything.
Yeah.
And now you can't even give people non-GMO milk if they go into kindergarten.
Times they are changing.
One thing
oh my God. And all of us, the ones that are teaching you what to do, have been sprayed with DDT for like 50 years. You've got a really good grasp on what's happening. Anyway, I think we have too many people. I don't think it's mosquitoes that are that bad. But have we gotten better at kind of controlling it?
We've learned a lot, and that's one of the things I'd like to add before we run out of time is I'd like to give people some ideas about how to minimize exposure to mosquitoes. Like I said earlier, if you do your watering in the morning while the ground is cool, you'll get better absorption to begin with. If you water in the evening when the ground is hotter, you're going to just naturally get more humidity, which will attract mosquitoes. But there are other things you can do. You know,
mosquitoes here in Montrose and where I live. I'm serious. Well, we don't have any.
It's been a weird, very strange season.
Everything's ripening too quick and everything. But anyway, no, that was just a story. It was funny. I wonder if it had anything to do with Donald Trump at all. You know, rank some of that stuff coming out of the truck. I don't know. I did not say this on the radio. Like,
okay.
Well, we appreciate the story.
Thank you, Max.
And talk to you, but
good to hear from you, Max. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, Max.
Oh, good.
Look, y'all just keep growing stuff, and we'll just keep eating stuff. And I do have a truck I'm going to bring up there to pay on you, and it will be loaded with something we don't know yet.
All right.
It depends on which party that I get to endorse it.
All right, we'll be watching for you.
Yeah, that's
watching
a good
out
one.
For you.
It's going to be fun.
Okay.
All right.
It's probably like a peyote extract.
A truck of that, huh?
Well, no, mosquitoes get affected by that too.
Well, there you go.
That's one thing I'm going to have to read up on.
Well, they drink our blood and they're loaded.
There you go. Well, we are talking about behavior, so I think Max is saying mind altering.
That's why you don't come down and see me.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks,
Max. Good night, Max. That's awesome.
Yeah, good to hear from Max, but. Yeah, not many mosquitoes down there, and you mentioned that Massoon's coming on, we hope that it's going to come on, so it could change things
I think sort of what Lulu was talking about earlier is, you know, it's remarkable how little water is actually needed for mosquitoes to hatch in.
Yeah.
You know, whether you have a coffee cup that you forgot while you were weeding, or your wheelbarrow, or your coffee can full of nuts and bolts. Your gutters are a big one.
Gutters are tires. A big one. But
yeah, tires
and just trash in general. But I got to say something to that, too. And that is that it's the water dries up really fast. You know, you don't have to panic, for Christmas sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But be aware of it. Yeah, your gutters are going to be a big deal. And you're also, when it's been dry like this and then it rains, those floodplain mosquitoes that maybe laid their eggs 10 years ago get a good puddle that hangs out for a while. And, you know, it could happen. But it's not going to happen in the puddles, in the alleys with the trucks driving through them all the time. Anytime you disturb the water, they drown. They have to breathe every minute and a half, just like we do.
Interesting.
Right.
And so if the water is agitated, like you think, oh, it's raining, we're going to have more mosquitoes. Well, initially, the rain is going to kill the mosquitoes off.
Right.
Okay.
Because it agitates the water. A strong wind agitating the water will get rid of them. If they're in a real protected place, not so much. But they have this little teeny, teeny, tiny.
Rosanna, Dana.
Teeny, teeny, tiny little teeny, tiny tube. And they've got to get it up onto the surface of the water. And there's this one molecule of tension, and they get that little tube up there, and they breathe for a little while, and then they go
zigging. Wiggle back down.
They wiggle back down to get their food and stuff. But, I mean, it's crazy. It's so tiny. They're so fragile. It's amazing that they get off the ground at all. But
they're so well adapted, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously they do. Yep.
So, there are various events coming up. The Delta County Fair and music in the park and barbecues mm-hmm. and weddings, et cetera. And I'd like to say a little bit about that. You know, we're not going to get every single last mosquito. As I know, every last mosquito, that's what I want to do, but it's not happening. So if you do find yourself out at dawn and dusk when the culex are around, this can help. They're attracted to dark colors, so tan and white are less attractive. If you have one drink of your favorite adult beverage, you're more attractive to mosquitoes. Mm. People with high cholesterol are more attractive to mosquitoes.
They're going for the cholesterol?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. And let's see what else. There are quite a few things. And, you know, I'm not...
Some people just get nailed.
Yes.
Some people
blood
do.
Type. The blood type is big.
Really? Blood type.
And so you can have a couple, and someone will say... You know, nope, they're not that bad this year. And someone else right next to them, their partner is being eaten alive.
Right.
And
right.
It's really down to individuals. So I'm not a big fan of DEET, but DEET does work. But I never, if I do use it, have to use it, I don't put it on my skin. I wash it off as quickly as possible. I'll put it on my cuffs, shirt and pants cuffs, my hat, my bandana. I would rather not put it on anyone... the skin of anyone I cared about.
There's plenty of natural. What are some of those good naturals? Herbal stuff, you know, lemon balm,
eucalyptus, geranium.
Yeah, there's, you know.
And they work.
They do work.
But they don't work as long. So you'll have to
reapply them.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's nice. It
citronella.
Smells good. Citronella.
Right. Mm-hmm. The good old standby.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the bugs, the beneficial bugs that we like to see out there that are going to eat mosquitoes? Right. And then what have you seen with...
Who are their natural enemies?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the preface to that, and I'm going to give us a little plug. You know, since this incarnation of the Mosquito District has come around, we are seeing more frogs, butterflies, dragonflies, the beneficials.
I think the bees population has really bounced.
Yeah, I think so. They need all the help they can get.
And there are the different varieties, too. Like, I've been noticing a lot of the native bees.
Bumblebees.
Around. Yeah. So
dragonflies, water striders. There's quite a few, but hummingbirds, swallows help. Bats, you know, I heard one time that some bats would rather eat a big, juicy moth. You know, which would you rather have, a whole bunch of goldfish to eat for dinner, or, you know, the little crunchy ones, or a big hamburger? I mean, a veggie burger, you know, and bats believe in the big burger rather than lots of little food.
Yeah, it takes a lot of calories to go chasing down those little tiny mosquitoes, you know. Well, I mean, why bother when you can go nail a big old moth?
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
So you see those insects, you know that you're getting some help with the mosquito population.
Right.
Yeah. And so let's give that hotline number that people can call when they feel like there's a mosquito infestation. Is that what we're going to say?
Yeah, please do. We, you know, depending on how busy we are, we can respond sometimes the same day, usually within a day or two. We try to do our best. That number is
970-527-6681. 527-6681. Okay.
Jinx.
6681.
Okay, Chris Schinkel from the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District. Thank you so much for being here. I learned a lot.
I'm so glad to spread this message. You know, we're trying our best, and there's a lot people can do in their backyard.
Okay, well,
it's all about just educating yourself to it and figuring it out.
Isn't that the way with everything?
Yeah. We like it.
A little education will go a long way on this one.
That's right. Well, we will be back next week at 6:30 on Tuesday to talk gardening. And thank you again, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Talking about mosquitoes.
Yeah,
and
Lance, thanks, you Lulu. Really got an
education. Yeah,
really
that was quite educational. Yeah. I got to just sit here and not have to worry about a thing.
I want to say thank you to Lulu. Lulu has done so much for so long that no one else can do.
All right. Thank you, Lulu.
Oh, you're so welcome. Does anybody want to learn to identify mosquitoes?
Ready to pass the torch. All right. Thanks for tuning in to As the Worm Turns. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening.
Good evening.
Good night, everybody. I got a girl that I love so. Do little, oh, and oh.